Thank you again for being here, for choosing to share your Sunday afternoon in this way. I wanted to bring up something as a talking point today, say a few words, and then perhaps we can open it up for some discussion. And today's topic is the three pure precepts. Three pure precepts are a system of Mahayana Buddhism, certainly in Zen, but in some other branches of Mahayana Buddhism as well. And when we look back into the Buddhist tradition, there's of course just a great wealth of teachings, of method, of instruction, of great guidance that has been brought down over the centuries, even thousands of years now, and still maintained today, which is an extraordinary thing. And these traditions, these ways, of course, have such longevity, and they are continued and maintained because they are effective devices to help each of us really awaken to our true nature, to our true potential as practitioners of meditation or of Buddhism, if we identify in that way. Don't need to identify in that way. I think it's helpful to remind ourselves often that word Buddha is awakened one, to be awake. So these three pure precepts, I like them, they're very short. Number one, do not commit evil. Right, so that's the first one. Second one, practice good, or do good. And then the third one, do good for others. So cease from evil, do good for others. There's an American Zen teacher, one of the pioneers in the West, as an American teacher who'd studied in Japan, Robert Aiken, did a lot of work in ethical and moral teaching to Buddhism. I was reading a comment from him when he talking on these three pure precepts, which come usually at the very towards the end of formal training in the Zen tradition. And he said, wow, this was what I got told my first day in kindergarten. Don't do bad things. Or play nice. Do good for others. But he said for him, it took a lot of years for that to really sink in. And just because perhaps teachings are short and direct, it can seem very simple. But often that which is most direct and simple is often most difficult to realize. It's interesting, this do not commit evil sounds, we shouldn't take these really as commandments, perhaps. Look at it a little differently. Do not commit evil. Of course, to say evil sets up something good. So we have good and evil right there. And we choose here, this first precept says, do not commit evil. It's interesting, that word precept that we have in Buddhism, You know, the word that we use comes from the Latin, before taking. So precept means before taking. That's the root of it. So before taking, do not commit evil. When we have good and evil, we have two things. We've got right and wrong, heaven and hell, all of the opposites, high and low. So this do not commit evil really points at the place before opposites arises, or a place before dualism arises, you know, which is really integral to this human condition that we are. We see and understand the world of things in our life often as opposites. And we know what we like and what we don't like for the most part. Now when we sit, of course, we have this wonderful practice which we were just sitting together this period of time. It's a great way to maintain the precepts, great way to refrain from doing evil. Can't get into a lot of trouble sitting still for 30 minutes. Perhaps for it between the ears we can, right? Maybe not a lot on the outward side, but between the ears, a whole world there for each of us. So maybe we can look at this do not commit evil as refrain from separating or creating other. Find, illuminate, and realize the place before differences arise. And that might sound quite grand, but that really is the art and practice of meditation. To take the seat, to be still, to allow this fact of awakening, the fact of being awake and aware as we are, to be thus, and then perhaps to get out of our own way. Do not commit evil, or do not commit any act at all, but rather just be as is. And then find or see the place, the life, which is always here, always apparent, and in its essence is not stained, is beyond or before good and evil, before and beyond right and wrong, or whatever we may drag in and start to add to that. The original place of no separation. You know, we may have an idea of non-separation, oneness or unity, which are great words. What is our experience of unity? Zazen, or sitting meditation, is unity in expression. We sit. That is all that is. That is what is made real, the action of sitting. And then our awareness is unified, is revealed as originally unified. Of course, our mind, we may come in, you know, from a busy day and all kinds of things happening, challenges, difficulties, etc. And we may spend some time just spinning the wheels on these things, or maybe reaching in and kind of gnawing on them or picking them up and chewing on them a little bit. You know, I see a few people smiling in a kind of slightly guilty way when I see. But this is what we do. But to refrain from that activity in sitting, it's not a matter of, this time isn't a matter of working things out. better to use it as a time of putting things aside, letting things drop. Allowing thought to be what it is, in appearance, thinking arises or appears, and then shifts or disappears. When you really look, there's nothing really moving there. Sounds come and go, you hear the fan, somebody coming in a little late, or a car on the street. None of these things need to be taken as hindrances. But with the conditioned nature of our mind, if we take these things as hindrances, like, oh, I can't sit, it's too noisy. Or, damn, well, why don't I, you know, what's going on with this, that, fill in the blank? Then we commit. We do something there. We make another world. We denigrate this experience that we have, comparing it to another, creating two things. Awakening, this is synonymous, then, this do not commit evil is synonymous with awakening itself. Knowing this experience, the one we're having now, as the awakened experience. Not looking for an experience to come in the future, or reaching back for an experience we had in the past, but always this expression, this experience now. Relaxing and fully inhabiting that. 30 minutes is quite a chunk of time to just to be able to sit and do nothing at all. You know, our days are so full of doing. Do so many things to do. But sitting or meditating is the time of really doing the radical practice of nothing. Nothing extra. See who and what we are as we are, and allow that. When we really enter into that, we realize our sitting is a place of refuge. As meditation is a place of refuge, a place of returning to that which is original and unconstructed, the very mystery and wonder of life, which is so easily covered up with our machinations, our doings, our picking and choosings that we have, that we practice those. Coming back, resetting, returning. Ceasing from evil, in that sense, you know. You could even take it as, well, first, stop making things worse. You know, sometimes we come to meditation in that way. You know, things become unsatisfactory or confusing or distressing, and we seek out a practice to assuage that. In the comment that I have here, do not commit evil. It is the dwelling place of all the Buddhas, Dharma and precepts, the source of all Buddhas, Dharma and precepts. This sitting, this meditation, this experience is the source. So that's our, you know, really our practice in meditation is to make that real. Become intimate with being here. This next second pure precept, practice good. Practice good. My teacher's teacher said, as Buddhists, we err on the side of good. You know, we aim towards good. but even without that label, of Buddhists, as human beings. Naturally, we lean to the side of good. Or we want that for ourselves, for family, for others. Of course, a million things distort that original experience. But we know how to practice good. And each of us knows that given the choice between good or bad, we take good. The comment says, the Dharma of, you know, here's some great words, the Dharma of Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. I looked up the translation and it said, highest perfect awakening, which sounds almost as fancy as Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi. The Dharma, which is the way of practice and being practiced. This is interesting. Doing good as a practice and also being practiced. You know, maybe there's a distinction there. You know, we can follow a practice. Come to meditation, learn yoga, learn whatever it is that we are following. And then practice it, put it into action, do it, show up. There's this almost feeling like of going toward something, a forward momentum, a practicing something. It's one approach. And then the Dharma of being practiced. An old teacher, Zen teacher, Master Dogen, said about this distinction, as a purist that he was, you know, that we go forward and meet the 10,000 things or myriad things is still delusion. We may practice that, this sense of self, being kind of here in the body, just here, going forward in the world and doing things. Master Dogen said, that's still delusion. Yeah, but then he turned it over and said, that the 10,000 things come forward and experience self is enlightenment, a realization. The disappearance of this one in the world of other things, that's extra. You don't really need that. The world practices us. Anyone here who has children knows what it's like to be practiced by someone or practiced by something. Or family, the world. You know, we don't have to go out and look for things to do, to practice. They come to us. But we err then on this side of good. And as meditation practitioners, as practitioners of present awareness and engagement with life, as we're still, as we gain or rediscover the confidence of just being as we are, you know, we experience that space, more space, a space and freedom, to be able to meet things as they arise and respond accordingly or respond appropriately. Something occurs, something calls for attention, and we respond. And we may find that as we are more present, as we practice that and really make this place our home, that response comes from don't know. The natural functioning that we already are. Often what gets in the way is the lens of what we should do. Something occurs. Now, if something occurs and we kind of pour it through or wash it through the filter of our opinions and ideas and understandings of things, it can get a little lost, the response. But being awake and aware as we are, we learn to more and more trust and rely on ourselves. Rely on this one to function. Find that we're always in the right place. It's always the right time. You don't have to go anywhere to find practice. There is nothing but practice. The whole world calling out in every direction. And so the third step, the third precept, do good for others. The whole world and everything. It's not that we, you know, awaken and arrive at a place of, okay, I am now done. It's done, achieved, done. Nothing more to do. You see, it's not that way. In our life, there is always more to do. There is always more stretch. There's always more to learn. You know, and as practicing together and practicing over the years, if we kind of rest on our laurels and imagine there's some kind of achievement there where we don't have to try, don't have to refine, don't have to continue, it's a mistake. There's doing good for others. There's always going forward together. Again, this is a Mahayana system, the system that arose in Buddhism, the Bodhisattva ideal. That everyone, the work isn't done until everybody awakens together. So do good for others. There's a distinction there. You know, the self nature is what we explore, what we understand, what we clarify. We have to put you have to put your oxygen mask on first before you can help others. Right? Oh, you don't have to. You don't have to. You know, I saw a picture recently of a plane. It was that Southwest one that was... I know it's being recorded, so it may not have been Southwest. It could have been anyone, but that's what came up. And there was a sudden loss of compression and a hole in the aircraft. And I saw a photo, and it was all of the oxygen masks had dropped down, and nobody had... There's about two people who put them on probably, right? People had them all in all kinds of ways, or, you know. But people were still trying to help one another. But to be really as skillful as possible with doing good, we have to take care of this one. You know, it starts here. It starts here. But then the possibility for engagement in the world is vast, is endless, of course. In this further comment, it says, liberate yourself, liberate others. And that sounds, it can sound quite the task. Liberate oneself, liberate others. We look at the news, we look into the world, and there's plenty of big projects to take on. Liberate ourselves, liberate others. But also this liberate ourselves and liberate others can be as simple as saying, isn't it a beautiful day today? You know, when we're obscured, when we're consumed with the latest problem or the difficulty that's going on, again, to stop, to come back to the place that we are and see. The place of no problems. To liberate ourselves, to liberate others.